Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
That was good, that's good too.
Oh, perfect redemption, the foretaste of God, to every believer the promise of God, the mightiest offender who sweet and moment from Jesus has won and received.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
let me hear His word.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
We are not singing the third one, apparently. Okay. All right, please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank You for this beautiful morning that You have given us. On this Sunday after Pentecost, as we worship together and gather in Your name to honor You and also to share our blessings between each other and with also You. We thank You for the good health and strength You have given us in our bodies to get up this morning to see a new day. Yes. Every day is a gift from You, O God, and our life is a gift from You. Help us, Lord, to be always grateful regardless of our conditions and our pains and sufferings, Lord. Help us above all to think and remember that Your gift of life in this world is not our choice, but it was given to us by Your choice. Help us to be thankful for that. Thank You for the good health and strength You have given us to gather here and also online to worship You. Bless us today as we worship together, Lord, especially on this Father's Day. As we honor our fathers, help us, Lord, to be faithful in the roles that You have given us in our families, to raise our children in the knowledge and grace of God and Jesus Christ, so that they will be a blessing to this world. Thank You for giving us the opportunity to come together and share that faith between each other, Lord. We also thank You for the freedom that You have given us to celebrate in this country, above all from all the types of bondages and slaveries that we have been under. Thank You for liberating us from the bondage of sin and death by the death and sacrifice of Your Son Jesus Christ on the cross and His resurrection. Thank You for calling us to be Your children so that we can call You Father regardless of our condition in our life. Help us, Lord, to worship You today in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Yes, Lord. Bless us, Lord, with Your presence. As we go from this place, fill us with Your power of Your word so that we can be a blessing to this world wherever You place us, Lord. Bless those who could not join us here today and also online. Bless them wherever they are and fill them with Your power and keep them under Your mighty wings, Lord. Help us and worship You together. Let Your name be lifted up and Your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It is our greeting time now. We can rise up and greet each other in Christian love. Honor our fathers today. Let us sing a hymn number 710, Faith of Our Fathers. You can remain seated. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire.
high with joy when we hear that glorious word. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to the eternal. Faith of our Father's, we will strive to win our nation's son to thee, and to the truth that comes from we all shall then be truly free. Our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our Father's we will love, both friend and foe, in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows sorrow, by kindly words and virtuous love. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee, to death.
Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 103 verses 1 through 18. You can follow that in the blue book, page 824. Please stand if you are able.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives us all our iniquities, and who heals all our diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord, who works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed, has made known God's way to Moses, God's act to the peoples of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow in anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord will not always chasten, nor honor anger forever.
The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love towards the faithful.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does the Lord remove our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful.
For the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust.
As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commands.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. It's our prayer time now. As a church family, we come together and share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we enjoy in our lives. And also at the same time, we come together and share our prayers of burdens and concerns and share between each other and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God together. And God's promise is that when we unite in prayer in His name, He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So let us go to God in prayer. The regular prayer items are listed at the back in the bulletin. Some of these items that we wanted to call out. You see, a name by George Verges, he went for a surgery for his intestine early week of June, hoping to get out in 10 days, but he had to stay there 36 days, and he finally came home yesterday. So please thank God for the continued healing, George Verges and his family, and God's grace and healing be upon him, that be a speedy recovery from now on. Are there any other special call-outs?
Just pray for my cousin Charlie.
Okay, remember that name. Let us continue to keep Wayne in our prayers. He's slowly getting his voice back a little bit.
Amen.
But he need a complete recovery for his voice. If there are no special call-outs, let us continue to keep our nation in our prayers, particularly our president and leaders of the Congress and governors of the states, that God will guide them during this election year, that right people will be elected. And also our service workers, our grocery clerks and delivery people, fire, military, police, all of them, let us be thankful for their services at the same time. Pray for their safety and their family's safety. Let us go to God in prayer together. Spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come before your presence, to worship you together, and also as your children to share our prayers of blessings and concerns. We thank you for the gift of life with all the joys and blessings that you gave us, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with the eternal life through your Son Jesus Christ, and we are thankful and grateful for that above everything. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection and keeping us safe every day. At the same time, we come before you with our burdens and concerns and our needs as well, O God. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good things for us, Lord, and we seek your presence and your blessings at this time. Many of us are broken in our bodies, and many of us are broken in our souls and in our spirit. Lord, when we are tired, you strengthen our body and in our spirit. When we are lost in our directions, you give us a sense of purpose and direction in our life. When we are tired, as we read in your word, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Help us, Lord, to trust in you for our strength to live in this world. We lift up all those who need your protection and guidance and healing at this time. Particularly, we pray for all those that we have named here. Particularly, we thank you for the healing that you have given to George Verges as he was able to come home from the hospital after more than a month. Bless him with your grace, and also his family with your peace. Continue to be with him and give him the peace that he can be recovered, and give him the patience to go through the time of recovery. We pray for Jenny Hayes, as Miss Lou has shared, bless her with healing. Above all, we pray for your peace that passeth all understanding to rule her hearts and her families at this time. We pray for Jean's cousin Charlie as he's going through the radiation and various treatments. Bless him with your grace of healing. Above all, we pray for peace for him and his family as well, and also for Jean. We pray for all of those who have asked our prayers in various situations of needs in their lives. We pray for your grace be upon them, and also your peace to rule their hearts and minds. We pray for our nation, our president, our leaders of the Congress, and also those who are making decisions on the state levels and many other areas. We pray for your grace be upon them so that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit. We pray for this election year that your Holy Spirit will work through the various people, that the right people will be elected at the right places, Lord. We thank you for all the service workers, our military, police and fire and grocery clerks and many others, many, many others who serve us every day. We thank you for their services and also we pray for their safety and their family's safety at this time. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us through this church, Lord. Help us to be faithful to do your work in this community. We particularly thank you for the service that Wayne and Carol are doing with their music. Particularly we lift him up for your grace so that he will be healed completely, that his voice will be recovered. We thank you for all the leaders of this church in various ways, working for the glory of your name and also the mission of this church. Bless us, Lord, to use the opportunities that you have given us to be faithful in our service, in our witness, in our giving, in all the things that we do, to be faithful for your kingdom and the work that we are doing in this community, Lord. Bless us today as we worship together, Lord, with your presence. Bless us with your power as we go from this place, that as we hear from your word, it will become a source of life and spirit in us and also become a life and spirit to the world around us, Lord. As we go from this place, help us to be faithful. Thank you for your presence here again. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and all the blessings that you shower upon us along with that. You are the source of all that we have and we are. You are a merciful and gracious God, and your open hand gives us everything that we need in our life and on our spirit. Above all, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Gracious God, we understand that you call us to be the stewards of your abundance in this world. Help us to be faithful stewards of your money, time, and witness that you have given us to do. We thank you for all of those who were able to give today and pray for those who could not give today. Bless all of them and cover them with your love today. May this offering be used for your grace, your glory, and also the mission of your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we will read the scripture which is taken from the book of Esther, which is a book in the Old Testament. I'll read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. The book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and explain to her, and he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death. Unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone or all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gift of your word that you have given us, so that we can meditate on it and receive your word with power in our lives. Thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to give us that eternal life. Help us, Lord, to be obedient before your word and humble before your word, so that it will become life and spirit in us, and also to life and spirit to this world through us. Bless us with your grace and bless us with your power of the Holy Spirit. Let your presence be with us and your power empower us as we go from this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Esther is a very interesting book in the Bible, which was written somewhere around the 450 BC, during the time of a king called Xerxes. This was somewhere the time before the reign of Alexander the Great. So that was the time frame, and the author of the book is really unknown. Many people say that it is written by Mordecai, one of the characters in the book himself, Or it could have been possibly written by Nehemiah or Ezra because of the similarity of the language that is used in this book. But regardless of what this book talks about, there is some interesting fact about the book is that this is the only book in the Bible that does not mention the name of God anywhere. So many people question as to why this book is included in the Bible. But our forefathers, who were guided by the Holy Spirit, who compiled the 66 books as the Bible, they chose to include this book because even though the name of God Himself is not mentioned in this book, God is the main character of this book. God works through people in various ways and changes history. That's what's happening through this book. So what happened here, if you don't know the history of this whole story, is a little girl by name Esther, who lost her parents when she was very young. A Hebrew girl lost her parents when she was very young. And they were under the bondage of the Babylon and later on Persian rule at that time. They were taken as slaves by the king Nebuchadnezzar, and later on that kingdom became Persian kingdom. So she was a slave girl among the Hebrews and an orphan girl who did not have parents. So her cousin Mordecai, who was a little older than her, adopted her at a very young age and became a father figure for her. So that's very appropriate today, as I chose this topic on a Father's Day. You don't have to be a biological father to be a father. Amen. You can be a father to the people who need a father figure in their lives. And there are so many of them, so many, many of them. Especially in our nation, as we are struggling with a culture of single parent families where father figures are absent. And because of that, there are certain implications in our culture because of that. And we like it or not, crime and direction of youngsters going in various ways without having a father figure or a male figure in their life have their own implications. Many people do not like to accept it. But the reality is that because of that absence of father figures in many families, we have a problem with our youngsters growing up. Amen. Love and compassion is not in the language of, in that book of language anymore. And people, young people are becoming so self-centered. I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental, but that's what's happening. Amen. To the young generation. It is true. Unlike the previous generations, people don't really care about each other. They're tied up into this little internet world, the communication world, especially on their tablets and the cell phones. Particularly the pandemic did not help either with that. So because of this self-centered and closed world, our young generation is growing up, the interaction is not there anymore. And adding to that, the absence of a father figure is also making the problem more complicated. So that is a reality that we are facing. So as people who believe in Jesus Christ and the living God, we have a responsibility. Whether we are a father to our children or not, we can be a father to many people who are in need in our society. We can adopt, or we can mentor young people and use the opportunity to raise. And it is the responsibility of the church that at this time, the people of the church to step up and fill that gap. Mordecai was a very, very good person to adopt Esther in a very young age and raise her, even though he did not have the means to do that. He chose to do that because he found that it was his responsibility and he did not shy away from it. Many times we don't want to take up responsibilities when they come to us. Opportunities that knock us in our doors, we don't want to open because it involves some time, it involves some effort, and it involves some sacrifice in our lives. But Mordecai was a very good person, a good father figure to Esther. And because of that, the whole history has changed. And he was very good at understanding what God wants from us, not only from my life, but also in the life of my dear ones that I am responsible for. Many times we let our children go their own way after certain times. That is a good thing. Let us do that. But at the same time, our responsibility does not end there. Even though they are adults and they are grown and gone, we may not be able to do a lot of things about their lives, but we can always pray for them.
Amen.
That is one thing that sometimes we miss. You know, our children need a lot of prayers, regardless of how big they are and how great they become. They need our prayers as our parents.
Amen.
That is the greatest responsibility God has given us to do. Many times we look back and say that, hey, my children were not going according to the way I wanted to, or they are not going to the faith that I have been trained. But that is up to God. But what we can do is to get on our knees and pray for them. Every day, single day, like Job did. Every single day he prayed for all of his children, wherever they were. Like John Wesley's mom did, Susanna Wesley. He had 19 children, he had prayed. Many of them became great, great warriors of faith, because she named every single one every day and prayed for, found time to pray for them. So Mordecai was a man of faith who chose to raise Esther. And also at that time, in the Persian kingdom, there was a problem with the king and his wife. The king's wife did not get along with certain things, and the king had a big banquet, and he expected the wife to show up, and at the right time she did not show up. You know what happens after that. He was looking for a new wife. And Mordecai, being a smart man, did not shy away from that opportunity either. He knew that Esther was a beautiful young girl who has the potential to be the queen of Persia. I mean, a Hebrew girl who was taken as a slave. Would you ever think that that is an opportunity that he can use? But Mordecai did not shy away from that either. So he actually went in, and because he had a little job in the palace, that he used that influence to present Esther as a potential candidate for the future queen. And lo and behold, God works through mysterious ways, right?
Amen.
If we step up in faith, God will do the rest. Many times we don't step up in faith because we are afraid. Or we are not, we don't have the faith to see the things that are coming. And we say, how can a slave girl become the queen of that particular kingdom? But he did not shy away from it. So he said, Esther, why don't you go and try for this opportunity? You know, it is God's work, and let him work through it. And Esther, with all her shyness and her fear, she went, and she was chosen because she was so beautiful and smart, and God worked through her. And during this time, because of the Jewish people were becoming more and more prominent in the king's palace, there were people who did not like it. And it happens all the time, right? Then we step up in faith and do God's work, there is always the devil coming against us. When the Holy Spirit tries to move through the people, there will always be the devil who also works against us. But we have to recognize that. And there was this man called Haman in the palace who did not like the Jewish people, especially Mordecai, who was in the palace also as an employee working there. And Haman wanted Mordecai to bow before him every time he passes by. And knowing the Jewish people, they do not bow down before anybody other than God. And that's how they were raised and they were taught. So Mordecai said, I am not going to bow down before Haman, no matter how big he is in the palace. So Haman plotted a plot to kill Mordecai. Not only to kill Mordecai, but also to kill all the Jewish people, annihilate and destroy all the Jewish people from the Persian kingdom.
Yes.
So he plotted a plot and worked with the king to declare an edict from the king. And the king apparently did that, and he declared that all the Jewish people will be killed. And the declaration went out, and Mordecai heard about it. And guess who is the queen at that time? Esther. Look at how things work together like puzzle pieces. But Mordecai had to take some plans and actions for this puzzle piece to come together. That was in his hands. And that opportunity also he did not shy away from. And he took that opportunity. And when he heard the news that the declaration went out to kill all the Jews in the country, he sent a message to Esther. And he also started a fasting and prayer. That's all, we also read that. Because he was a man of prayer. And he took us, he put on sackcloth and put himself in ashes before the gate of the city. And Esther found out that he was in ashes. And Esther wanted to know why. And then Mordecai told her through a messenger that this is what's happening. All the people of Jewish origin are going to be killed if you don't act right at this moment. That is why he's saying that, do not think that because you are in the king's palace as the queen that you will be spared. Mm-hmm. Because you are also a Jew, remember. Yeah. When they find out that your life may not be safe either, then he said, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews come from somewhere else. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther was placed there because of a certain purpose, that this was going to happen. And at such a time as this, God has placed you at the right place to act on behalf of the people of God. Amen. That's what the reminder that Mordecai sent to Queen Esther. Mordecai did not think that, oh no, she was gone, she is now the queen, and I may not be able to do anything about it at this time, or I may not be influence her. I may not be able to influence her anymore. No, he did not do that. He actually challenged her, even when she was the queen. She challenged her. So don't think that when our kids are gone and then grown up, we can always challenge them to take the next step. And Esther did take that challenge and went to the king and explained to him all about Haman and how he was trying to kill Mordecai, and he actually built a big gallows for Mordecai to be hanged in the city.
Amen.
And then Esther went in boldly and told the king about the truth. The king was so mad and angry, and he said, let that gallows that was built for killing Mordecai be used to hang Haman himself. And look what happened.
Yeah.
Haman was hung on that very gallows that he prepared for Mordecai.
Amen.
So the evil that the devil planned was become a blessing for the people of Israel at that time. And the festival of Purim, I don't know if you know that, is one of the major festivals that is the people of Jewish people even now celebrate. One of the major festivals called P-U-R-I-M, Purim. And that is this festival. The festival of Purim. The victory of good over evil. That is what they celebrate, that the festival of Purim. And many scholars of the Bible say that that is the only reason this book is included in the Bible, because the festival of Purim is an important festival for them to celebrate the victory of good over evil. Today, as people of God, we are given opportunities to step up and do things like Mordecai and Esther, to take up opportunities that we can bring up talents. You know, he recognized the potential of a little girl, and he adopted that girl and raised her up for the purpose of serving God and changed history because of that. God has given us the potential to do many things in this world. God has adopted us as his children, even though we were lost in sin and we were not worthy to be called children of God. God sent his only son. Through him he adopted us to be part of his kingdom, so that we can be part of the work of his kingdom in this world to bring to fruition the will of God in this world. So this is what this whole book is about. In this time and age, it is a great lesson that teaching us that God is the Father who is raising us up in this world to be a blessing to this world. And it says in the scripture that we have one Father, and that makes us who? If we all have one Father, we are all brothers and sisters. And that is the Father of Jesus Christ. And that, what does that mean? We are not only brothers and sisters between each other, but we are also brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. So we have the same privilege that God gave to His Son Jesus Christ because of Him and faith in Him. We have the same rights and privileges of Jesus Christ in heaven. So we can be called the children of God, and we can call our Father, Heavenly Father, our Father. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It is our Father because God has chosen us through His Son Jesus Christ to be His children. We have been adopted into God's family because of Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His only Son to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world that He sent Him so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we have been adopted because of His death and resurrection, and our faith in that Calvary, the cross of Calvary, that we have become children of God. And Paul says that in many places in his letters that we have been adopted. He says that we have been adopted because not of our merits, only because of His grace. You received a spirit that shows that you are adopted. With His spirit we cry, "Abba, Father." We read that in Romans chapter 8. And also in Ephesians, Paul says that we have been predestined to the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ. So we have been adopted through Jesus Christ as children of God. And when we are adopted, He would not consider us adopted children because we are equal with Jesus Christ. One Sunday school teacher had two new boys in her Sunday school one time. And in order to register them, she had to ask their ages and birthdays. So the older one, or one of them, said, "We are both seven, two brothers. And my birthday is April 8, 1976, and my brother's birthday is April 20, 1976, only 12 days apart. That can be possible for two brothers." So the teacher said, "That's impossible, you know, with the two brothers with 12 days apart, that doesn't." So then the boy said, "No, it is not impossible because one of us is adopted." And then the Sunday school was just curious. And she asked, "Which one?" And the boy said, "That is a question that we asked our dad and our mom several times. Every time we ask them the question, they smile and they will say that they couldn't remember which one was adopted because they love them both." That is what God does. God adopted us through Jesus Christ. And we are not adopted children anymore. We are children of God through Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus is the Son of God, we are children of God with all the blessings that God has endowed upon Jesus Christ is for ours to enjoy. May the good Lord bless us these words on His Father's Day. As we go from this place to be faithful in all the things that God has given us to do to bring a blessing to this world. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is hymn number 127, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." If you are able, please stand. 127. We'll do 1 and 3.
"Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrims to this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill me till I want no more. When I tread the words of Jordan, bid my anxious needs subside. Death of death and hell's destruction,
land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
People of God, be a blessing to this world in whatever way you can be. A mentor, a father, a mother, whatever way we can care other people. Because there is a needy world in front of us. Go in the knowledge that God is there as a father protecting us and guiding us and helping us to do the things faithfully for this world to be a blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit may go with you now and forevermore. Amen.